I'm just going to have you give a big hand for JR, if you don't mind. And welcome him.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
Good, good. You guys look great. You guys are an incredible, incredible group of people because you guys are the early ones. And I call you the smart ones because you're going to have more time today to invite people to eternity tonight. That's why you came, right? You woke up today and you said, I'm getting up early, so I have more time today to invite people to eternity. How many saw eternity so far? Excellent. How many are planning to come? And how many aren't coming? I'm just kidding. I got a couple hands there. Let's get them before they leave. I don't know what get them means, but we'll get them, all right? Okay. Well, it really is a privilege to be here this morning and be able to share the word with you. We get to come in and kind of do the easy part. We get to come in and do eternity and be here with you guys and see some exciting things happen. But, Pastor Tom and Pastor Brad and the whole team here are the ones who daily are making things happen in this community and in this church. And I think it goes without saying that Pastor Tom and his wife are great leaders, incredible leaders to lead this church. And so let's just give them a hand real quick before we get started. Because, without them, I definitely know that, you guys would definitely be on your way to... No, I'm joking. I'm standing out of the pit of hell. And they're incredible. We always love being here with you guys. It's incredible. And all the work that Brad, you've put in, and the team, and just the energy that everyone's put in has been outstanding. So we're very thankful. If you could turn in your Bibles with me to John 3:30. It's a very short portion of Scripture, but very powerful. How many know sometimes God gets you with the short, powerful kind of stuff at times? Other times, he begins to kind of show you a revelation, maybe of one word or of one thing. And the whole idea of John 3:30 is very simple. But in my life, I've seen very powerful, and even in the lives of many people who've done eternity and been a part of eternity, they've seen this principle in action. And so today, as I share, before we get into the word, I just kind of want to introduce a new part of my family. And my daughter, I think we have the picture on the screen. I'm very excited about her. That actually was taken yesterday. She's 5 months old, and it's written right there. And everyone says she's a spitting image of me, which excites me because my wife really wanted her to look like her, and I wanted a boy. So then having a girl that looks like me is even better because having a girl is just amazing. And so that's my daughter, Sophia. We had her 5 months ago. Actually, my wife did. I didn't have her. She's right there, and she's enjoying New York this morning. So that's my daughter. I'm so proud of her. She's awesome. And hopefully one day we'll be able to bring her here. And maybe she can be in the play with you guys or something. I don't know. But John 3:30, we'll get started here. I'm reading out of the NIRV for the words. Here it says, he must become more important, I must become less important. Once again, he must become more important, I must become less important. Many translations say he must become greater, I must become less. Other translations say he must increase, I must decrease. How many of you like the word more? How many think more is a good thing? How many of you know that our country is a country of more, that less is not more, but more is more? A lot of people say, hey, less is more. A lot of times when they don't want to do the work, right? They're like, hey, less is more. I'm just working less to see more things happen. They kind of misinterpret sometimes that saying of, hey, less is more. But, at times, we in our Christian walk, I believe, need to be reminded that we have to become less for Jesus to become more. That as we become less, he becomes more through us. And that as less of us is apparent, more of him is apparent to people around us. And I believe that this week, as we
get into the mission of eternity, and we've already kicked it off, and there's been great things happening. I believe that as you take a less of me, more of you, Jesus, attitude, you're going to see incredible things happen. You know, if you ask somebody, I just ask this question, what do you think the most important thing, the number one thing that people want more of? They simply want more of everything, more of everything good. They want more of everything that increases their life or their value or their standard of living. So it's more success, more money, more friends, more relationships that aren't so hard to deal with, more time, more ability to just kind of manage your time a little bit better. You always want more of the good things in life, and there's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you, when we become less, when we take the stance, as John the Baptist said here, he said, if I become less, Jesus will become more. Then man, what is it that God will do? What is it that God could stir up here in this body of believers? What is it that God can do with this community and begin to stir us up to say, hey, if I take a couple steps back of what I want and I look to what Jesus wants, man, we could see some incredible things happen. So I know that as you begin to just let this truth settle into your life of less of me, more of him, that he will begin to use you very powerfully. How many have been in a place before you've known that, you know, I felt a little bit inadequate at times, or I felt a little bit fearful at times. I felt like I wasn't quite enough for the job, or I wasn't quite enough for maybe the task at hand, or I wasn't quite enough to maybe reach out to somebody and share the gospel, that I felt really less in that moment. By a show of hands, you ever have a moment like that? Man, some of you are just very confident and you're very perfect. It just is exciting to be in a room of people who are very confident. I've been there before. I've felt like less. I felt inadequate. I felt doubtful. I felt fearful. And at times, you know, you can get crippled by that and you can say, wow, I am so much less than I need to be. Now, when it comes to losing weight, I hope that I'm less than I need to be, but everything else, I want to be more than I need to be, right? We want to be more confident. We want to be more thrilled about life. We want to be more purposed, and we want to be more passionate about the things of God, but a lot of times we find ourselves coming to the place where we feel like less, right? We feel like, wow, I missed the mark. Wow, I didn't pray this morning, or wow, I didn't quite share my faith with that person the way I wanted to. And so the things of God become this kind of a trying to attain these things rather than really, hey, I need to become less and let Jesus work through me. And he's the more that people need, not me, not more of my personality. I mean, personality is a great thing and it can open some doors, and God's giftings that he's given you have been given to you because you have a certain influence of the people around you. But let me tell you, as you become less and he becomes more, that's when real faith begins to happen. That's when operating by the Spirit of God begins to become exciting, because you realize, I am less. I have nothing. It's all Jesus. It's all what he's done for us. It's all what he's done for me. And this week is such a perfect time to realize, hey, I can maybe do less of my schedule and things. Maybe I can cut a few things out and I can do more of what Jesus wants. Amen? And let's take a look at what a more of Jesus life looks like. A more of Jesus life is a life lived in worship and surrender to Jesus. A person living this kind of life keeps Jesus at the focal point of every area of their life and does all they can to point others towards him. He's at the center. I don't know if you guys know that song, Jesus at the Center of It All. I don't know if you've ever sang that. Some people are like, I don't know that song. That's okay. Maybe it's a New York thing. You know, in New York, it's so hard to sometimes center yourself on anything except the busyness and the craziness, and the life goes at such a fast speed. And I know, you know, everywhere in this country is busy, but you get to New York and you begin to get in the thick of everything, and you try to like get your mind focused on Jesus and get your mind focused on what he wants you to do, and focus and focus and focus, because so many times people get so caught up in their careers, the money, the lights, the fame, everything happening in New York. And let me tell you, it's sometimes hard. At least in our church, I talk to people sometimes and they're like, man, I just feel overwhelmed at my job. I feel like I don't even, you know, have the time to share my faith. I don't even at times feel like I even know what to say because I've been so worried about everything else. And, you know, worry begins to cripple you. But if you keep your life focused on Jesus, more of Jesus' life, then things become clearer. Things become more centered on him, and you have a clear focus and a clear goal and a clear motive to see others here and see your life lived out with Jesus in it. So we want to live a more focused life, and I believe it can start this week. Many of you are probably already there. You're probably saying, hey, I feel like I do center my life on Jesus, but today I believe there's maybe a rekindling of some things, even to kick off even this week, that as you pass out tickets, you invite people, you get involved in what's happening, and you maybe become a little less and see what God's doing become more this week. You're going to see some powerful things happen. You know, you take a look at John the Baptist's life. He was kind of a weird dude, right? I mean, he was wearing camel. He was wearing a leather belt. Well, he was wearing camel skin. He wasn't wearing a camel. That would be a little tough. He was wearing camel skin. He was wearing a leather belt. He was eating locusts and honey. You know, I was thinking this year, I was like, we do a Daniel fast a lot. Why don't we ever do a John the Baptist fast? Why don't we ever try that? A little locust and honey. You know, we'd definitely become less. I wouldn't be eating that. I'd lose some weight. But, you know, he was an interesting guy. You know, he would, if you saw him today, you would probably look at him and say, wow, John, you probably need to shower. You probably need to shave. I was looking up pictures of what John the Baptist looked like a little bit, and I wanted to show him, but it was kind of weird because he was kind of holding his tunic and showing a little too much leg. So I didn't want to, you know, expose you guys to that. But, you know, he was a strange guy. But the thing is that he knew without a doubt what he was called to do. He knew his mission in life. And yeah, you can say, well, he's a Bible story. Of course he knew his mission in life. Well, you know, he was out in the desert for a long time before he got to actually do what he was called to do. How many of you feel like you're in a desert at times? How many of you feel like you're kind of in the wilderness at times? Come on, let me tell you, that's a place of preparation. That's a place where God's going to begin to speak to you and begin to mold you and shape you and use you in the coming days, just like John the Baptist. I mean, he had to go through a season of the wilderness. And, you know, he was one of the greatest men in the Bible. In fact, Jesus said he was the greatest born of a woman. He was the greatest. I mean, you would think he would be walking around kind of arrogant about that, but this man is saying, I got to become less. Jesus has to become more. He wasn't walking around saying, wow, did you hear what Jesus said about me? I'm the greatest. I can do anything. Jesus actually said, I'm the greatest. Could you imagine that? And even his birth, I mean, taking place, his father, once he got his voice back, because his father, obviously, many of you know the story, when he was conceived, didn't believe that he was just shocked, and so he lost his voice, couldn't speak. And the first thing he does when he can speak is he begins to sing a song. It says it's his song over his son, and he begins to prophesy and kind of tell what his son is going to do. And so we can kind of look at that and say, well, it's easy when your parents speak good things over you. I didn't have that growing up. you may be saying. You know, I me and my wife, we, you know, try to divide the baby duties, and one of the things, I don't even know how it happened. We didn't even like sit down and write this one out, but every morning when our daughter wakes up, my wife's like, hey, her diaper needs to be changed. And so I've just become like the first diaper change in the morning, kind of, that's my duty. And it's kind of funny because, you know, I started doing it and kind of like dreading it, getting up in the morning, and you know, it's pretty early, and she's making noises like that baby just made. And you know, it's cute, but yet you're just tired. I mean, many of you parents, you've been there, and so you're probably laughing at me like, oh, just wait, it gets worse. No. But so I'm up in the morning with my daughter, you know, almost every morning, change her diaper, and I just felt, you know, impressed by the Spirit to just begin to pray over her, to begin to say good things over her, to begin to speak into her life what God wants to do in her life. And so I've really come to enjoy diaper changing time because it's one of those times I get to just kind of pray over my daughter. And, you know, it made me start thinking, what if the people in this town, what if the people in our cities, what if, for my case, it was New York when I was thinking about it, but then I thought about here in Grandville, what if the people here started to live out what we spoke over them? What would they actually be like? Do you see people and say, wow, that person's weird. Why are they, you know, why are they doing what they're doing over there? Why is that person, you know, so just different than me or us? Or are you saying, wow, that's someone that God loves. That's someone we can reach. That's someone that has a future and a destiny. That's somebody that we can see the love of God transform their life and come into our church or go into this city and see some things begin to change. What would happen if we began to speak those things over people rather than maybe the frustrations and the just annoyances that sometimes people bring over, you know, it just kind of would change things, right? What would your family live like if they lived out the words you speak over them? You know, speaking those words over this community and praying and seeking God and going to God and saying, Lord, you love this community. You, God, forgive our sins. God, set us free. God, break the bondages. God, set people free of addiction. God, set people on the track and the path of righteousness. Come on, I believe that we would see things begin to happen. And you can start that, I believe, right now. You could even take a ticket, hand someone a ticket. You could pray for somebody. You could bring them in tonight. You could begin to walk with people to see their destiny fulfilled. You know, you may not feel always purposeful every day. You may not feel like your passions and your purpose are being fulfilled every day, but you can pour into someone else even when you don't feel it. How many would say, you know, I want to speak life over people, just like John the Baptist's father spoke into his life what he's going to do, and all of a sudden, this guy is like the greatest guy born of women. He was a pretty important guy. He was prophesied about in the Old Testament. His stories through the New Testament. And all of a sudden, we see him saying such a simple, powerful phrase. I got to become less. Jesus has to become more. And you know, it's interesting because as Jesus began to come on the scene in John's day, he had a lot of disciples. He was the most famous preacher of the time before Jesus came in. And some of his disciples got disgruntled about it and saw Jesus. You know, this was after John the Baptist got to baptize Jesus, and then John's disciples began to get kind of annoyed that Jesus started to baptize people, and they came to John and said, look at what the teacher's doing that you baptized the other day. He's doing the same thing. He's starting to baptize people. We better watch out. He's going to steal our people. And so they were disturbed. They were concerned for John that, hey, you're going to lose your position here if you don't kind of do something. And he began to say, This is what's supposed to happen. I'm supposed to become less. He's supposed to become more. He's what I've been declaring. I've been the voice in the wilderness, making the path straight for the one who's to come. Saying, I've been the voice in the wilderness, making the path for the one who is more. I've just been the less. And we can be that for people. We can begin to declare the more for their life. We can say, hey, I just want to be a voice, Lord. I just want to be a voice calling out, saying, make way, because Jesus is going to come into your life. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to begin to fill you. He's going to begin to change you. He's going to save you. And that's what this week is about. That's what the mission of this church this week is about. To say, hey, we're going to be a voice calling out, saying, prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare your hearts for the Lord. Prepare to be saved. Prepare to change. Prepare to be transformed. Amen? Come on, he wants to do something bigger than we can imagine. He wants to do something greater as we become less, as we step back. And what does that mean for you? Maybe that means, hey, I got to change my schedule. What? My schedule? God gave me that schedule. A lot of us feel that way. God has told me to be scheduled. He's told me to live a life of discipline, and that is right. That's good. But sometimes with our iPads, our iPhones, our I this or I that, our I, it comes about I. It becomes about me. I this, I that. I will decide what I want to do today. I will plan out what I want to do today. And then we cut out room for what God wants. Maybe it's not scheduling. Maybe it's you just becoming less and saying, you know, I'm fearful. Well, have less of what you're feeling and more confidence in Christ. More confidence to step out and hand out a ticket. Invite somebody. You saw on the video announcements, I love that, how simple. Look how simple this is. That wasn't staged. No? I don't know. Come on, it's such an incredible life we can live when we realize that we're just here to serve. We're just here to make way for the Lord. We're just here to be less and let him be more. And that doesn't mean we have to demean ourselves down and be, you know, little, you know, poverty-stricken Christians. Not just with money, but in our minds. And that, it doesn't mean become less and just kind of walk around like you're less. It means let him be more through you. Let him be everything. John's mission was to make way for the Lord. To be the one calling out to prepare the way for the Lord, to point people towards Jesus and make him more famous than himself. He was a famous guy. He clearly understood his purpose. He clearly understood what it was to declare the Lord for the people around him. And it's interesting, as he understood his purpose, even though he was a weird guy, when you know your purpose, people are drawn to you. It says in Matthew that people came out from the region and came out to him, to listen to him preach. They were so stirred up, they went out to him. They were drawn to him. And I don't think in the natural he would have been a really kind of attractive guy to be drawn to, but they were just drawn to him. They were drawn to what he was doing because there was a mission about him. He knew what he was made for, and so it drew people. And as you know your mission, as you live out your life's mission, people will be drawn to you. As you continue to see God become more in your life and you become less, and you take a step back and you say, God, use me for whatever you want, which that's the mission, to be used of God, sent by him to make disciples, to live on mission, to be minded that we have this mission and this thing to do for God is how we're supposed to live. As you do that, people will be drawn to you. A lot of times we get afraid that as I do that, people will be afraid. People will be kind of turned away from me because they'll think I'm a weird Christian. They'll think that, you know, I'm walking around like always Bible thumping. And if you're doing that, you might want to change your approach. But, you know, the thing is that as you live what he's called you to live, that people will be attracted to that. I believe that. I've seen that. I mean, even last night we were at a restaurant, Brandon and I, and you know, we were just trying to figure out we forgot to grab our ticket. Could you believe that? We're here doing eternity, we forgot to grab our tickets. But we went to a restaurant and this girl was serving and we were talking to her and you know, we were kind of laughing and you know, just telling her about eternity all of a sudden, and you know, it just started to kind of, she even sat down in the booth. And she started talking. I mean, she kind of said she was saved, but yet, you know, you could kind of tell that there's that battle going on. And so, you know, people, just as you open your mouth and begin to say what God's doing, I mean, we were just telling her, hey, this is what's happening this week. And she was attracted to it. She's like, wow, I want to come. I want to bring my roommate. That sounds cool. That sounds fun. And, you know, we get so afraid, and, you know, our culture is a very bold, strong culture that we get afraid sometimes that we're going to be looked at as weird as Christians. And a lot of times, you know, there's some truth to that. But man, if we actually lived out our mission with the heart and passion that John the Baptist did, I believe people would actually start to be drawn to it. I mean, they went out to him. He was out in the wilderness. They were in the city. Why would they go out to him? Because he was calling out, making way for the Lord. And they were expecting. They were excited. And he was baptizing them. He was doing incredible things. He was seeing people's lives turn around. He was helping people live a better life. You know, a lot of us, even as Christians, don't even feel purposed at times. We don't feel a passion for our purpose, right? And that's okay. Because as we begin to feel like nothing is when Jesus can come in and be the everything. It's actually a good place to be in when you feel like less. It's actually a good place to be in when you feel like, wow, a lot of things have been happening to me that have just kind of burned up my self-confidence. That's when you have confidence in Christ. Just like John, you were made for a mission. You were made for greatness. You were made for more. In Psalms 139:14, it says, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God knew that this week would happen. He knew that eternity would take place this week. He knew the people that you would run into and that you could invite. He knew that there would be tickets available that can be passed out. He knew what was going to take place, and he's prepared you for these good works. He's prepared you to go out and be a light and be a voice in this community. I don't know about you, but and when I think about if I could just get over myself sometimes and be used for what Christ really wants me to be used for, what would that look like? What would that look like? It would look like a group of people in this room going out and sharing their faith with boldness, sharing that God's doing something. God's stirring something up at our church. God's doing something this week. Come on, you should come and check it out and be a part of it. You know, it's a play, but you know, it's powerful. Come see it. You know, don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to make known what God's doing in our day. Sometimes we get a little nervous, but that's okay. You know, it says that John lifted up his voice as one calling out in the wilderness. You're like, I'm not really one to call out. The word says that we can lift up our voice like a trumpet and, you know, declare the good works of the Lord. You're like, I'm not really a trumpet. Well, God will use your personality. Maybe you're more of a smooth jazz trumpet, you know? I love going to, you know, listen to jazz every once in a while in New York. You know, there's the Blue Note. There's all these, you know, kind of famous jazz places. And sometimes hearing that smooth jazz is just so inspiring. So you don't have to be this loud blasting trumpet always in people's lives like, you should repent, come to church, repent, the kingdom is near. You know, maybe you're a, hey, you know, I really just want you to come and hear what's happening at our church. And all of a sudden you're playing that smooth jazz trumpet and they're all of a sudden enticed and inspired to come. You know, your personality, God's made you the way you are. And so use what he's made you to be. Use that. You know, our culture is it'll shape you. But if you live on mission, if you live for the purposes of God, then you can shape culture around you. And that's what I want to see happen. I want my life to not be shaped by culture, but I want to be used to shape culture. If we become less, Jesus becomes more. Man, we'll see culture shaped for Christ. We'll see a culture that is not just about more money, more pleasure, more this, more that. It'll be more of you, God, less of us. Would you just bow your heads this morning? Close your eyes. You know, constantly, the story of John, if you read it, just everywhere his story kind of pops up, you'll see that it's not just something he said, it's something he lived out. And you know, we're all guilty of having good ideas sometimes and saying the way we want to live and sometimes not living it out as much as we should. But the desire to do what God wants us to do, I believe will get us to a place where we can become less and he can become more. And he's all the more that you need. You need nothing else but him. You know, with all the success that John had, he could have really ran with that. He could have really made it about himself, but in the end, it's all about the ultimate success of the kingdom of God. It's interesting when John the Baptist died. And just keep your eyes closed just as we close this morning or end the message. You know, before he died, died a tragic death. He was in prison and was beheaded. But before he died, his disciples came to visit him. They told him about what Jesus was doing. He's healing the blind. He's baptizing. He's seeing people set free. He's doing all these incredible things. And he sent them back saying, you know, is this the one we were waiting for? He had maybe a little bit of a doubtful moment in prison. Yeah, I would too. But he said, is this really the one we were waiting for? Or ask him if we should wait for someone else. Of course, they came back, made the report, and he knew he had done his mission. He knew in that prison cell that he had become less and Jesus had become the more. He knew without a doubt before he died, wow, I fulfilled my mission. I fulfilled what I was supposed to do. He became more than I ever was. He became the more that I was declaring. It happened. Thank God. And then he died, you know. And then Jesus became so famous and he began to grow his disciples and grow his followers and all these incredible miracles. And so even at his death, he was concerned. Did I do what I was supposed to do? Did I take part in becoming a forerunner for Christ? Did I take part in kind of making a way in the wilderness for Jesus? Did I take part in making a way for people to hear about Jesus? And that's the question for today is, are we taking part of what God's doing this week? Are we taking part of making a way for people to come and hear the truth? Are we taking part in grabbing some tickets and inviting people? Are we the ones that are going to take part and then at the end of this say, wow, I did it. I helped. I was a part of it. We really saw a lot of people's lives change. What an incredible thing. Just like John said, wow, I believe in his prison cell. Once they told him, hey, he's doing this. Jesus, this is the one you were waiting for. Man, what a glorious moment for him. What a glorious moment for him to know in that prison cell, I did it. I did it. I did what I was called to do. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. As we have taught you, you were doing this already, and we encourage you to do so more and more. So I'm just here to encourage you to do so more and more. You may be already doing this already, and I know many of you are, but keep doing it more and more. Keep going further. Keep declaring Jesus. Keep going into the places you go to and strike up conversations with people. Keep going. Keep doing it and see God use you in a powerful way. Become less this week. Become less today and let Jesus be the more that people are seeking. You know, as we step back, it's powerful to watch Jesus move. Man, would you just stand with me? I just want to pray for you before I turn the service back over to Pastor Tom. But if you just, in your heart, really sense that you want to become less, it's kind of a dangerous request, right? We kind of, I don't know if you've been there, when you say, God, I want to be desperate for you, and then he really makes you desperate for you, for him. Or you say, God, I want to suffer for you, and he really, then you really do end up suffering for him in some way or another. Saying I want to be less is kind of tough because we live in such a move yourself forward, build your own brand, be you. But you know, as we become less and Jesus works through us, it's that's where I want to be. If you want that today, if you say, you know what, I'm going to dare to say I want to be less and for him to become more, just lift your hand. And let's pray this morning that we would have the grace and we would have just a fresh perspective to live the mission that God's called us to do. I love that everyone here has been referring to eternity this week as a missions trip. I love that. It's living life where you've been planted on mission. You're fulfilling what God's asking you to do. So with your hand raised, God, we just pray this morning that you would instill in us such a faith and trust in you that would say, God, I trust you enough to become the more and for me to become less. I know that you will take care of me as I become less and God, you become more. I know, God, that I will fulfill what I need to fulfill in your eyes as I become less and you become more. God, I pray today that you would begin to stir up this community of believers to say, Lord, here I am, use me. God, take us, whatever we can offer, God, just take us and use it for more. Jesus, we just, with our hand raised, we just, as a sign of surrender, say, Lord, become more. We even know this is your testimony, Jesus, of you coming to earth to become less, that we could become more. And now we can become less, so you become more, God. And I just pray that we would just understand what that means for us. It may mean changing a few things. It may mean, God, stepping out of our comfort zone. But at the same time, we just rely on you. We just trust in you. We just say, you're the more, Jesus. I'll do my part. You do the rest, God. And so this week, I pray we would be inspired and we'd be ignited with a fresh passion and a fresh purposeful mission to go out and invite people, to go out and bring them in, to take tickets and invite people, to even bring someone with us in our own car or meet them here. God, whatever it takes, I pray that you would make us less and you would show people the more grace, the more life, the more abundance that you have for them. And God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are here in our midst. In Jesus' name.